It is quite clear as we worship our Lord God today that this day is set aside as a special day. And as we look to the calendar, we can bring all the way back to when Jesus truly rose from the dead. And the calendar has gone, and what we have at this day meets with the exact Sunday in the particular month that Jesus came out of the tomb and he rose from the dead. It gives us great pleasure to be able to look upon our Lord Jesus Christ in a special way. And I hope we don't just make this some religious act, but just to think about him, who he is and what he's done by his death and coming out of the tomb. And so therefore, and it is normally what we would do, we would focus the message of the word of God upon Christ and his risen and what he has done for us. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important day in the life of the Christian church. It is a shame that this day is shrouded in some cases with chocolate bunnies and colored eggs. The day celebrates Jesus' resurrection, pointing to the glorious defeat of the power of darkness and the blessed victory of the redeemed of the Lord Jesus Christ. This day points back to the victory of Jesus Christ over the prince of darkness, the devil himself. We Christians come to this day and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, and that should be done rightly with each and every one of us in our very hearts. But this morning, I want to take us further than his magnificent raising from the dead, only to look at the past. With the Lord's help, I want you to see what he has done and is doing in his resurrected, glorified body right now for his people and for his church. The Bible is clear that Jesus died for the sins of his people and has accomplished for them a new life and a glorious hope of eternal blessings with God in heaven for all eternity. But I believe we do not focus on what our Lord is doing right now in the world and for his church. And we as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ should look to Christ and what he's doing right now. Each and every one of us should have in our minds and hearts and some proof of this as we live as Christians that Christ is with us now. You see, if we look at a Christ in the past and some hope or foggy thought of a Christ in heaven, we're losing everything. We must see him and know that he's with us right now. And I believe that the word of God helps us with that. The book of the Revelation gives us the complete picture of what is taking place now and what the end will be for the saints of God when Jesus Christ himself shall return. Now I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 19. And while you're turning there, a brief word about how the book is written. Many people come to the book of the Revelation. They think it's a historical book. They think it's coming. The way it's played out is that in the beginning, as we find the first chapters we're going through, and it goes all the way through to the end, and that's the end. So it's a historical writing. It's chronologically laid out for us to follow, and that's why so many have problems with understanding the book of the Revelation. Many believe that it is written in a historical way. The book instead is divided into sections, but they are not chronologically laid out. They are parallel to each other. The sections sometimes picture the view from the church itself, looking at what is going on in the world. Sometimes a heavenly view is shown to us, sometimes a theme of judgment, sometimes of victory. These sections cover the entire church age between Christ's first and second coming. We see from the beginning when Christ came, and as he was then gone to glory, coming out of the tomb, and it goes all the way till he returned again. And it keeps going back and forth to that. We have sections in the book of the Revelation to speak to. It goes from the beginning to the end, and it starts all over again, beginning to the end, and it starts again, beginning and to the end. When you look at that and you see and understand how the book of the Revelation is written for us, we begin to understand it more and more. This morning, I want to focus on Jesus and his glorious state as King and Lord over the whole world and the splendid victory that awaits us. You're in Revelation chapter 19, follow along as I read beginning in verse 1. After these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because his judgments are true and righteous. For he has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality and has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her. And a second time they said, Hallelujah! And her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sits on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came from the throne saying, Give praise to our God, all ye his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great. Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are true words of God. Then I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, Do not do that. I am a fellow servant as yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are as a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. And as we look to this section this morning, I want to go to just a few verses here, beginning with verse 11 and going down to verse 16. And we want to see two things this morning. Christ, the divine warrior, we see first of all. And then the second thing we will see, his glorious titles, the titles given to him. First of all, Christ, the divine warrior. In this part of the vision, John said in verse 13, And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. We are told in Revelation 6 and 2 that a rider on a white horse went out conquering and to conquer. It is clear that the rider is Jesus Christ, and his first fight against wickedness and the devil is what he was pursuing in that chapter. We know that this is Jesus because of the name given to him, Faithful and True. And also that he goes forth in his righteousness and to judge and to wage war. Jesus Christ now is looked up as the mighty lifted up Savior, the Son of God, eternal God himself. And here the writer tells us now he comes. We're in one of those sections where we're going to see the glory of Christ and who he is and how he will now take to himself that mighty power and destroy even the works of the devil. Verse 12, he says, his eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head many diadems. Eyes a flame of fire. What this is showing to us is that in his eyes, Jesus Christ himself has the penetrating power from which nothing is hidden. They burn, those eyes of his, look right down into the core of the being, revealing the truth, meaning that he sees and he understands the state of every single one of us. He looks right down into you right now with those eyes and he sees the truth. He sees all that we are. And he knows all that we are. Many diadems are stated also. These are emblems of royalty worn on his head. Some say a crown, but it's not this particular metal crown. It's something that's said here. Man thinks that he is ruling in the world. But here, what the writer is saying to us, or the picture shown to John, that he is risen in power, and in the very thing he's done is he's over all. Man believes that he is the one who's raising up. Man believes that he has power in the country, and he believes that he has power to control the world. You see what man is doing right now. He grows up and he thinks that he wants the world to be the way he wants to be. We have these potentates that think that they want to rule and they should have some place of rule and they take some kind of rule over people. Jesus taught us that there will always be trouble and disasters in the world. He says there will be wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And all of these will take place because there will be men claiming to be Christ even. This is the plot of the devil to lead many away from Jesus Christ. But the only ones who will be able to totally take hold of the false Christ is those who are the unsaved and will have nothing to do with God whatsoever. But we know Christ have his own, and he's going to call them to him. Verse 13, he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. A robe dipped in blood. This is not the blood of the cross where Jesus Christ died. Symbolically, it is the blood of his enemies. In here, he goes forth, the mighty warrior, to go forth to fight. The devil and his armies, he will destroy them because he is the one which is made up of wicked men who fight with the devil. Dear people, on this earth, they are people who are now on the devil's side. They fight with him and they fight against God and his church. And Jesus, when we see his battle that he takes forth, he is going against them who would fight against him. We are told the dragon, the serpent, the old of old, who is called the devil, and Satan, who deceives the whole world, in verses 12, chapter 12, rather, and 9, and this who Jesus is going out against. He makes war against them. His name is called, we are told, the Word of God. And this here takes us back to what is said in John chapter 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is not some man who stood up and think that he ought to take the place, as we have so many in the world today. Pontiffs rise up and think they should be the ones who be the leaders over God's people. No, this is Christ Jesus himself, indicating all his glory and power and the truth that proceeds from him. No truth is nowhere else in the world other than that to come from God and Jesus Christ, his son. And here we see and understand what is being done, what God is going to do and what he will do. And each and every one of us should understand from the very picture we see here. We don't look at Jesus and say, well, you know, he's a nice man. He died in the place of sinners, you know, and he's someone we can cuddle up to. We are seeing him, who he truly is. He's a mighty warrior. He is fighting against wickedness in this world. And the devil and who he is and all he has caused to come to him, even through drawing in the first man and woman into sin, causing them to turn away from God and to listen to him in the garden. And now time has come where Jesus Christ is going to destroy every work of the devil. And he says this is the very thing we should see, we should look at. Here the writer John here, as he sees this vision, he sees this mighty warrior coming. It is Christ himself, and he comes in such a way that he shows with him it will be all victory. It says in verse 15, from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. This is a picture you and I would probably think about. We say, isn't Jesus loving and kind? Isn't he the one that shows love to all? He would not break a bruised reed. He comes and he helps all. Isn't that what he is? But this doesn't sound like that. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations. Dear people, some believe that the world is going to continue on. The world is going and nothing is going to change in it. Many people, they believe and they think circular. They think that all we have, if we're going to live, but really what happened, man dies and they come again. Some of the Eastern religions say you die and you come back as something else. There's just that circle idea. But the Bible teaches us the world is historically. It goes in a pattern and there's a plan. Here we know we're coming from one point. God created man in his likeness and after his own image. Man sinned and fell, and God told him that something is going to be done, that man will be brought back to God. We're going to that end. History is on a journey, dear people. We are on that journey where it's going. There's going to come a time when Christ himself is going to stand up and all and every eye will see him. And those who know him and love him, they will fall and pray and praise him, and he would call them his special ones. But there were those who will not know him, and Christ would say, into outer darkness. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, indicating that he now is ready to do battle. And in this section of the book of the Revelation, it's showing that he is going to destroy the devil. And he comes as one to destroy. But also it shows us that he is one who is looking at all that is going on in the earth. And as he sees what's going on the earth, he is the one who's going to bring all wickedness to an end. His eyes and what he is and what he's doing. We find from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations. You see, people think that, well, people are created by God, so God is going to be kind to all people. That's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us they are the wicked and they are the righteous. And God is going to deal in judgment on the wicked. And dear people, when we come and say the Lord Jesus Christ, he is resurrected, let us know the complete story. Don't let us have some kind of a patent religion that puts Christ in some place. But all he is a kind one who comes, and he really does not have anything to do or anything against in this way of wickedness itself. The Bible tells us it's coming to an end. That end is coming, and what Jesus Christ is going to do, he is going to be the one who show all his might and power. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. Remember, this sounds much like Psalm 2. I'll turn and read it for you. You need not turn. And how it was indicated that what was going to take place, and how what God is going to say when he says he set up his son. Psalm 2 says, why are the nations in an uproar and the people devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel against God, the Lord, and against his anointed one. What do they say? Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. What he's saying here, all the nations are saying, get rid of God. We don't want to have anything to do with God. Let us take everything, anything that he has in the midst of us that holds us tight, that is, as it were, to strangle us in, to tell us we have to live what he says. Let us get rid of that. What he says, the psalmist, he who sits in heavens laughs and he scoffs at them. God is looking down from heaven even right now. And he's looking at the wicked ones all over the earth. And he's saying to them, you don't know what you have in store for you. You don't know what I can do to you. And dear sinner in this place, if you don't know who God is, if you're saying, I don't want to have anything to do with you, guess what? God's laughing at you. Because you will not have the final word. He is coming, and this is what he's going to do. He sits in the heavens, and he laughs. He's saying, oh, you think that you have the story. You think you have everything in your control, but it's not. And this is the very thing that the devil does. He makes man think that he is in control. And that's why so many wars are around the world. That's why we've seen this fighting going on, even in Ukraine right now. And that's why in political systems you see it toppling, because those who raise up to power, they want more power than they deserve. They forget about the people who they are now supposedly head over, and they think about their own lives and their own glory and what they can get, what they can earn, how they can live. And they begin to be those who eat up the people in order to bring themselves into a higher state. God is laughing at them, people. God is going to deal with them. But here we find, and this is the very thing. But the next thing we see in verse 16, it tells us something that we look at him and how we should see him. And on his robe and his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And on his robe, here we say he's riding, and they have this robe that he's having, and he has on his thigh, he says, this name is written. This also points back to many people, says that it is showing his very victory and his power, because on his robe and on his side, kings in a day on their right thigh, that's where their sword would be. When it points to on his thigh, it's speaking of this is the power of Christ and when he comes. He does not come as a savior saying, come unto me, all you who have elated. He comes as a king now, a warrior to do battle. And people understand, he's not doing battle against everyone. His church and his people whom he loves, he has them in protection. He's going against the wicked of the world. And it says his name is written on him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, dear people, the very phrase itself shows us what he's saying. King of Kings, all the great leaders of the world are nothing compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. They hold a reign that is small compared to his title. And furthermore, they hold a reign that he allows them to have even for a time. And he is the one who will bring their reign to an end. Remember Pharaoh in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel and Moses went back to them and he said to them, to Pharaoh, God says, let my people go. Who is the Lord that I should let Israel go? And that went around and around and around. But God showed him that he is the one that's in control. Many read that section of scripture and they said that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. And they think that the Lord made Pharaoh evil. No, he didn't. But what he said, that the Lord would not, by his own mercy and grace, allow goodness to come to that man's heart where he would do goodness. God, Lord himself, is in control of everything. He gives us everything that we have right now. He is the one who gives grace to us and where we can do kindness to others. And he is the one who may remove that grace where we find ourselves doing evil things to one another. It is, and this is what we see in Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, I will not let him go. But God didn't intend to him to let him go because he was going to use his own wickedness to destroy the very king and his country, bring them to battle, cause them to go out after his wand and drown Pharaoh's army in the midst of the sea. That was his plan. You see, a lot of things we don't understand what his plans, God's plan right now, but God is working behind the scenes, dear people. We may not see it and we can't see it and we don't know all what it is, but it's going on. Right now, dear people, God is working. And this is what the book of the Revelation wants us to see and understand. Though we are here, what is going on behind the scene? What is happening and taking place? Well, he's telling us right here on his thigh. It was his name written, Lord of Lords, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the only one who has power, all power. Man may stand up and he think that he's ruling. And in our day to day, every one of us get afraid when we see these potentates trying to, as it were, show their power. They got all these weapons now, nuclear weapons. The whole world is afraid right now. What will that man in Russia do? He's not going to do any more than Christ allow him to do. Let us not worry about what he can do and what we need to do to stop him. Christ is going to stop him. If Christ does not stop him, he is allowing him to do what he wants to come to pass, and God has a reason for it, and we may not understand it. Oh, this is the risen Lord. This is Jesus Christ who's come out of the tomb and the one who's there. He's Lord of Lords, means that there is only one who rules over all mankind, no matter what that title a man may have. He is the only one. Revelation 17, 12 to 24, these will wage war against the Lamb. And he's talking about in that passage that those who will come up, the Lamb is Jesus, and the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Here is his name, dear people, Lord of Lords and King of Kings is showing him now. Yes, Jesus said he come into the world weak and lowly. And he went and he did what he would do in that particular time, under that period, to go to the grave and to call and go in to have the sins of the world die for you and me who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when he came out of the grave, he didn't come out of the grave meek and lowly. He came out of the grave, Lord of Lords. And he is the king over all. This is what we see this morning. This is what we see when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear people, this is not a battle what we talk about in the book of the Revelation, a battle where the devil wins a victory and then sometimes Jesus wins a victory. Were you like that when you first got saved? You think the devil is all powerful. He can do this and that. And sometimes he wins and then sometimes Jesus wins. This is not that. The truth of that is no way. Any seemingly victory that wickedness has over righteousness is a part of God's plan to bring greater devastation over the wicked and to bring us who are the righteous to the place to see what we have allowed to come into our hearts. Now, when we see those things which normally come into the world, we should not put them in the category of this is God doing wickedness to us. These bodies, because of sin, they are growing older and older. They're getting weaker. They are dying since Adam ate that forbidden fruit. If we're going to go through this, so if we have some kind of problems in life with our health, we're not going to look at that and blame that on God. God has now brought this thing upon me. We are dying, people. Forget the stuff the preachers out there say, well, if you have this kind of disease, pray to the Lord and he will heal you. Well, he will in times, but he's not going to take it away because you told him to take it away. He may have it there for a reason. Paul the apostle said he had a thorn in the flesh. Three times he cried out, take it away. But the Lord answered, my grace is sufficient for you. Dear people, we're going to see, we're going to know, we're going to understand. We are losing it all. We're on our way to the grave. And God is not causing, he is not, I should say, judging us because we have some kind of sickness or disease. That is not it. Now, there's times when God will deal with us, but we will know if that's the case, because you know why? This same risen Lord is with us and in us every hour of the day, and everything that we're going through, he's showing us through it. So here we find, this is the whole idea, his enemies, he has control over all the kings that rules on the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what are you doing? He sits in heaven and he laughs at them. John is shown in the vision of this book that world history really is, and in the end, the devil and the wicked will be destroyed, and all the kings of the earth will be taken care of by God. But those who God has raised up, they will become those who will live upon the earth. The devil has men thinking that they rule the world all through history. Caesars, czars, kings, princes, popes, and even presidents thought that they could rule the world. But too many of them have imagined a vain thing. Dear people, we ought to see and understand right now that God is on our side. God is with his church. Jesus Christ is now. He's risen. He's in heaven with God. This is what we find all men trying to do. Some is nothing but the ploy of the devil to draw men away from God. And he's doing that. He's working mightily at that. But how far he would go depends on how far Christ lets him go. And men get completely thrown out of wits, thinking that they have all they can do, and man controls all things, and God has nothing to do with him. God leaves a man that way because God is going to judge him in the end. Here, man's greed is what poisons him. Man's greed and his passions makes him to rule the world, to the desire. He only lives for himself, causing harm to many as he attempts to get what he believes will satisfy him. That's man in his lost state. His sins rule him and destroy all godly character that will enable him to even live in peace with his brother. This is man controlled by his own sinful nature under the sway of the devil. This is all he does. Victory is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is reigning over the world right now and will return to destroy the devil and cast the wicked into hell. Now, if that's a truth you don't like, I can't do help you with that. That's the truth of the Bible. That's the truth of God and who he is. You see, the resurrection of Jesus is the proof that Jesus is in control and that he will destroy the wicked on the earth. This truth gives the Christian great hope for now and for the future. You know why? Because now, because he is with us and working in us, that we will do all things to his glory. You are here this morning to worship God, the Lord Jesus Christ. How are you worshiping in his heart right now? What's going on through your mind? Remember, those piercing eyes can see right into you and everything that you're thinking even right now. It doesn't matter what you think of me. It doesn't matter what you think of the person next to you. He is only concerned with what you think of him at this present time. Here he looks and he knows all. You see, dear people, as the church, the believers in Christ Jesus, he's doing all things for his glory, and his church is his glory, and he's going to do what he has to bring it into glory with him. Secondly, he is protecting us, dear people. He's protecting us and blessing us until he brings us home. We are not out here in the world, and the devil and all he's doing, and you're unguarded. We are not like the senior citizen walking down the street, and he or she is in some neighborhood where she don't know who may run up and grab or whatever. We're not like that. We are protected by Christ. And even if one of us are senior citizens and we walk down the street, do you have enough strength in you to say, no one will touch me unless Christ allows it? That's the way we should be. Because that's the truth. If we worship a Christ who's so far away from us, he don't know what's going on in us, we are not seeing the Christ of the Bible. He is with us. He's guiding us. He's protecting us. He is the one who's with us even now. Another important fact, we have been resurrected ourselves into newness of life. That's a wonderful thing, dear people. You see, sin made us where we could not come to God the way we were. We will never turn to Christ, would have not done it on our own. No matter how much you listen to preaching, preaching would not change you and yourselves. You have to be changed by the glory and power of God. The grace of God needs to come to us. And that's what happened to those of us who know Christ right now. It was Christ's grace coming to us. You didn't decide one day you want to be a Christian. Now, I know people talk that talk. But there's many people who decided one day and they found a couple of years longer that they never made a decision and nothing never really changed in their lives. God has to do it. And he does it. And he is the one. And so when we think of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we even have a picture of that in our very life. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, unable to go to God, too confused in our sins, turned around as if we were lost in a maze someplace, nowhere to go out, no, don't know how to get to God until he came. And he was the one who opened our eyes. And he was the one who showed us who we were, first of all, and who he is. And he was the one that gave us the grace to come to him. And then he was the one who saved us. And oh, dear people, what we should see now is the resurrection of Christ not only shows what he's done and what he's gone for us, but because of that, we have been resurrected to newness of life. We now live in body and soul, and even that soul now is connected to Christ Jesus, and we worship him, and we serve him in that sense. This is a glorious day, yes. He was raised from the dead, yes. Well, what about you? Were you raised from the dead also? Or do you have your continued life the way it is, not having anything to do with Christ, not wanting to hear anything about Christ, just live your life the way you want to live it. No, whatever ends, that's all right with me. See, you're thinking circular, not historically, because history says you're going to meet Christ. You're going to stand before him. You're going to give an account of your life. And if you can't say anything good to him, he's going to say, into outer darkness. But you who have been resurrected from your old life into newness of life, what a glory. What a joy it is for you even right now. Let us never forget that he is always with us, dear people. The battles we see in the book of the Revelation also shows us, bring us to the place where he is right now with us. It is Jesus Christ who is protecting, guiding, and blessing, and teaching us more about the truth and the grace that he has in it. You, dear Christians, right now, you were protected and cared for all through this week because Christ did it. He kept you. And you're probably thinking some things is going on. I don't know how this or that is going to happen. I don't know how it's going to take place. It will be done if Christ is going to do it, and you don't have to worry about anything. And another thing, the church of Jesus Christ will not be wiped out. Now, I'm not talking about any particular local church, because that comes to an end times, and some kind, God brings them to an end. But the church, there will always be a church on the face of the earth. And the church is talking about the whole population of Christians who live upon the face of the earth. And we will be here until Christ returns. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. This is the resurrection. This is what you have. Is he the one you love? Is he the one you live for? The one who came out of the grave. And can you even say yourself, I've also been brought out of deadness of life. I can look back in my life and see it before I got saved. And I said, oh, I thank God that you saved me. Can you say that? Can you look back and see that? And know that's really what took place in you. If you can, oh, rejoice in this, the resurrection day of the Lord Jesus Christ. By his resurrection, he was able to resurrect us to who we are, even right now. May God bless you, and may he take his word and cause you to have a different week, because you see, you're not walking in this world all alone, and you're not walking in this world with Christ up there and you way down here. He's with you. He's in you. He's protecting you. He's guiding you. Let us pray. Oh, blessed God in heaven, how we thank you for your kindness and your mercy. None of us deserve anything from you, O Lord, but your kindness came to us. You drew us to yourself, O Lord, when we were even in some cases happy in our sins. And not looking to you, not even having a desire to come to you, but you broke in when you, it was right and according to your own plan for each and every one of us. Oh God, we pray to you this morning, look upon each one of us who know you, Lord, and give us the blessed hope and the happiness of knowing that we have a resurrected Savior who also has raised us from the depths of our own sin to be with you in heavenly places when that time should come. So give us glory and honor in this day, O Lord. Let us see you and live for your glory. And may we be able, God, as your church, as your individual Christian, be able to take this great message out to so many who are lost in the world. So Father, hear and answer our prayer in Jesus' name.